This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know, of any song that needs more cowbell, it's Ride Like the Wind.
Too soft for you?
It's very subtle, yeah. It needs to be more aggressive.
Turn it up a little bit. Don't be afraid of this song.
All right.
It's a jam.
I'd like to ride.
Will Ferrell ruined this song for me.
How?
What was it? Old School? What movie was this
it
in?
Definitely
Running
wasn't
Scared.
It wasn't an Old School.
Billy Crystal.
It's look it up. You will get results.
Okay.
He sang the song, and it's terrible, but it's so funny.
Well, he also sang in Old School Dust in the Wind by Kansas. That doesn't ruin that song for me.
That song was already
one of his main shticks.
You're my boy, Blue. You're
taking
my boy.
Really good songs and singing them horribly.
Do you remember the funeral scene in Old School?
We need to go back and watch.
You're my boy, Blue.
The next time we are like snowed in a year or rained in and just do like a Will Ferrell movie marathon. I would be so down
no
for
no problem
that.
With that. We're starting with both of the Anchormans.
Okay.
Black. Stop saying black. Black. I can't help myself.
2/3 of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make any sense. Ted Lasso is coming back for a 4th season, ladies and gentlemen. On Apple TV, it was announced today. The streamer did not say when the new episodes would become available or where they are in the production process. Sudeikis, who is the show's executive producer, hinted the new episodes would be about taking chances. It is unclear if Ted Lasso will be in Ted Lasso 4.
Well, he would have to be in some, you know, Jason Sudeikis made this announcement on the New Heights podcast.
As Ted Lasso fans, man, thank you, because that is gold.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Is there season 4? Is it in the works?
Are we allowed
I don't
to say
know
that?
What I'm allowed to ask.
I think you can ask it, yeah.
That's what we're writing. We're writing season 4 now.
Yeah!
That's the official word, yeah. Ted's coaching, yeah, they're a women's team. So there. That's
happening.
That's
women's
it.
Team.
Yeah.
Is he coming back to the States? Or?
Yeah, that's too many questions. But yeah.
That's too many questions.
Coaching a women's team in England
yes!
or in the United
no,
States?
No, he just said, I'm coming back.
But he will be part of the show based on what he just said, which is not what we thought when we first ended season 3
right.
and started talking about ramblings about the potential for a season 4.
Well,
it would be kind of a new show, but without it would be Ted Lasso without Ted Lasso.
What about his son who is like 11
no.
or 12?
That's why I think he will come back. This is going to be the storyline. Soccer stays with Beard and everyone over in England, and the main focus is soccer. But every once in a while, you're going to see Jason Sudeikis. He'll make some cameos because he's gone back to America to be with his son and coach a women's team. That's exactly what this is going to be. Because if you think about real life.
So he's going to be on Zoom?
You think about real life. He can't just be away from his son over in England for, you know, when the show started, his son was what, 6?
Well, remember, though, spoiler, if anybody hasn't seen the end of season 3 yet.
That's their fault, not ours.
You've had enough time.
There was some back and forth about whether or not the family wanted to move over to England with him. And obviously, they ultimately decided that he was going to go back to the United States. But What if that changes in the in-between time between season three and season four?
I'm just thrilled it's coming back.
So, but are we going to be bouncing between, you know, Roy over at AFC Richmond and Beard at AFC Richmond and Lasso over at, you know, the women's Manchester City team?
I think it will be brilliantly written and seamless, and we should just be thankful that it is coming back.
I am very thankful.
Did you see what else just dropped? I'm sorry, ladies.
Oh, simmer down.
To do this to you on a Friday, but
Landman 2.
Oh, it is making the rounds. No, it has been a while since we have seen Missouri's own Mr. Pitt.
Oh, boy.
And Mr. Pitt, it appears, has come out of a retirement sort of lull to wear a very tight-fitting bodysuit.
Now, if I had said this about any woman...
As a race car driver, I can't stand NASCAR. I don't even... You know, I don't know anything about it. I don't understand the cars going round and around and around.
This isn't NASCAR.
It's Formula One, sorry. But I do think
difference.
There will be an enormous...
It's like football and rugby.
There will be an enormous interest in this film, ladies.
Some people look at Sonny Hayes. They see a guy who lives in a van. A gambling junkie who missed his shot. The best that never was. But I see possibility. And if you don't love
me now, we'll never. My Rook is a phenomenal talent. But he's young. You plus him.
Boom.
I got a team.
When was the last time you won a race?
Sunday, Daytona.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Formula One.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then same as you.
I don't even know what it's about.
It's about Formula One.
Whatever. Listen to this, Scott. This is why you're going to love this.
She doesn't know what Formula One is.
Leave it to Brad Pitt to try to steal some of Tom Cruise's action thunder. The actor's summer movie, F1... in theaters June 27th, features Pitt teamed with Top Gun Maverick director Joseph Kosinski, ripping around famous global racetracks.
Is this the suit you're talking about?
Yeah. At upward of 180 mile an hour.
Now, Scott, she doesn't care about the content of the movie.
Yeah,
she just wants to sit there and drool.
I think he is one of the greatest actors of our generation. I really do. If you look at his catalog, it is deep. And yes, he is nice to look at, but he is a great actor. He's a great actor. When was the last time we had a race car Formula One movie? And I'll tell you, it was Days of Thunder. Was that 30
years
ago?
Which, by the way, they're making a Days of Thunder 2.
No interest.
Why not?
I didn't love Days of Thunder 1.
Because Brad Pitt's not in Days of Thunder 2 dressed in very tight white clothing where you can see his abs.
Actually, the last one, I think, was Talladega Nights.
That's right, Talladega Nights.
Ballad of
if
Ricky
If you ain't
Bobby.
First, you're last.
Mm-hmm.
Judging from both the first and last trailer, F1 seems to promise truly epic racing sequences. No surprise that they look ripped straight out of the popular Netflix series Drive to Survive. You've seen that series on Netflix, which was the real chronicling of what goes on in Formula. In fact, I think Carrie makes a cameo in that, by the way, in that series about Formula
Carrie
One.
Carrie Emmert, our friend?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you not see Talladega Nights?
Yes.
Which is the last racing movie that we've had.
I'd forgotten.
One of the best documentaries about the
Clearly.
Sport.
You ain't first, you last.
That's
yes.
right. That's exactly right.
Anyway, June, it is coming out in June, and I think, you know, it's going to be good.
See, I don't look at Talladega Nights as a movie. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Dan. It's a documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen to this sentence.
Driving Ricky Bobby.
Driving ground-based missiles that pull multiple Gs and boast upward of 1,000 HPs sounds a bit like the world of Top Gun. And
what does HP stand for?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hyper.
You mean horsepower?
Whatever. Pitt, 61.
She didn't know.
It says HPs.
That's horsepowers.
Pitt, 61, like Tom Cruise, 62, had to stay fit for the role. They are athletes. I'm not going to lie. I don't think it's a sport, but I do acknowledge you have to be an athlete to do what the race car drivers
do. You think Brad Pitt's going to shake and bake?
I think he might.
Rubbing his racing.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus.
I want to thank my sponsors, Mountain Dew and Pizza Hut.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
This could be a good movie, this F1.
It's going to be good.
Javier Bardem is in it.
I think she's confusing the sound of a NASCAR race with the sound of an F1 race.
They are promising F1 will be, quote, the most authentic racing film ever experienced in cinema.
Wait, Dana, you said that was going to be over 1,000 Hewlett-Packards? Thank you, Texan.
It's a lot of computers.
It is a lot of computers.
Very powerful.
Oh, my word. We're off to a racing start. Wow. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
I'm going to make a gender generalization, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong. When someone is charged with making a false workers' compensation claim, to me, if we look this up, and we will, usually those are men. Are they not, Scott?
Yes, and what got us started on this conversation was, who was the superintendent?
Threw the cane in the trunk.
I
almost said Carmack. My goodness. It'll come back to me. It was Channel 5.
Yes. Went down and followed him into his
vacation
in Florida.
Yes.
And he gets out of the car with his cane and he's walking around. Superintendent of schools in Kansas City, Missouri. Ugh. Throws the cane into the trunk and goes to chop wood.
It walks off and starts chopping.
What was his name?
It's a miracle. He's better.
But he had taken a leave of absence from the Kansas City, Missouri public schools as their superintendent. And I cannot, I'm looking.
Stan Kramer, God.
That's right.
I worked with him. Story.
Who was the superintendent?
It'll come right up.
The text line will let us know.
It was Call for Action. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Call for Action.
Stan Kramer.
Workman's comp, they are false reports 1-2% of the time. I'm trying to find some demographics on that.
I'm telling you, I think it's always the man throwing the cane in the trunk, but maybe it's because we had that iconic story here, or infamous story here. Anyway.
What was his name?
A former school employee has been charged for false workers' compensation claims. And in this case, she is not only a woman, she is an older woman.
Barbara.
What city is this in?
Independence, Missouri. Former employee of the Independence School District has been charged after claims that she had been injured when a student tripped her were found to be false. Jackson County, Missouri court records filed last Friday indicate that 70-year-old Barbara Martin of Sugar Creek has been accused of workers' comp fraud against a local school district. The criminal complaint came from the Missouri's AG office, Scott, and it showed that on September 26, 2018, 7 years ago, she filed a workers' comp claim that was later found to be false. She claimed she was injured while working for the Independent School District September 28th, claimed she was injured when she was tripped by a student during a bus evacuation drill. However, a recording of the incident revealed that no injury actually occurred. Now listen to this. Martin, age 70, has been charged with 4 counts of violations regarding workers' comp fraud. Okay. If convicted, state law requires she face up to 8 years behind bars and pay up to $12,000. Up to 8 years behind bars for knowingly presenting a false workers' comp claim. I don't know why these stories always fascinate me, but they do, because you have to have a workers' comp investigator look into this. And why did it take 7 years to bring this to court?
Well, I mean, I'm sure an investigation into your alleged injury that requires that you go on to workers' comp, you can't work anymore, is not something they do overnight.
You think she was a bus driver?
Probably.
I doubt she gets any jail time, but if she is convicted, I would argue that she definitely has to pay the restitution.
I think that would be a bridge too far to give her prison time for that.
Now, I already mentioned that only 1-2% of workers' comp claims are fraudulent. However, according to Robert Curtin Investigations, LLC, they make up a quarter of all insurance fraud claims.
Okay, so in the umbrella of insurance fraud,
yeah,
workers' comp takes a bigger piece of the pie.
Correct. But then when it comes to just workers' comp, it's only 1% to 2%
are fraudulent. I'll say this. 2% of all workers' comp claims are fraudulent. That sounds low to me.
I thought so too, Sam. I'm not saying you're reading the numbers wrong. I'm just saying, is that just the ones we know about? Or is the fraud easy to detect because you either fell down the stairs and got a concussion at work or you did not?
There was an L and a W in the superintendent's name.
This other investigation website says 10%. Obviously, yeah. They don't know.
Well, I used to know someone very well who was in the medical field who would review people and have to write up whether or not they had legitimate workers' comp claims or not. And this person would tell me a lot of the time, and this person never put a percentage on it, but they would come in, oh, my aching back. Oh, right. You know, I fell out of one of the work machines, and oh my gosh, you know, the tractor. Oh, and you can't prove it nor disprove it.
Yeah, the back is one that would be hard to prove. Oh, my back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just hurts to walk anymore.
Yeah, tell me what my pain tolerance is, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Purely subjective.
And so then you're like, all right, fine. You know, we'll give you 6 weeks off, right? Workers' comp. Then after 6 weeks, they come back in. They're like, you know, it's still not there.
I'm going to need another 8 weeks, doc. Oh. By the way, a study from the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud reports that 25% of Americans think it's okay to pad an insurance claim.
Oh!
Doesn't surprise me a bit.
10% reported saying insurance fraud doesn't hurt anybody.
Why? Because you're sticking it to quote the man?
Yes. That's exactly right.
Ooh.
25% is a lot.
Someone on the text line has to remember that superintendent's name. And yes,
it's
we've
killing
Googled
me.
It 100 times.
It is killing me.
It was such a long time ago. That iconic story, Scott, I'm pretty sure was right before I got to Channel 5.
It was in the 90s.
It would have been in the 90s, maybe
mid to late 90s.
95, 96,
so
something like that.
Here's where we need your help. There was a superintendent of schools in Kansas City, Missouri, Stan Kramer. Oh, let me backtrack. This superintendent claimed that he had been hurt on the job.
Could not work.
Couldn't work. And the board was like, all right, take some time off, workers' comp, whatever. And he ended up flying down to Florida. Stan Kramer, who was a brilliant reporter at Channel 5, followed him secretly down to Florida and filmed him getting out of his car at his vacation home and throwing his cane that he used to get off the plane.
He tosses it into the trunk.
Oh, Walter Marks. That's it.
Really?
It just came to me. Walter Marks.
Look at your Dana brain. Okay. I believe you, but I'm looking. So I want to hear, every once in a while when these stories come into the stack, I want to hear from like an insurance fraud investigator. You are my favorite people out there. Like you are the paid Stan Kramers in the insurance world who go out and say, okay, this person says they can't work. Like how do you catch them? And do you automatically, do insurance companies for bigger claims automatically investigate everybody? Or only when someone calls and says, you know, I saw Barbara out there jogging the other day.
She was riding her motorcycle.
Are we sure? You know, do you have to have a tip? How does it work?
Walter Marks served as superintendent of the Kansas City Public Schools from 1991 to 1995 when he was fired.
Did I not tell you there was an L and a W in his name?
For medical leave and the subsequent actions.
Mm-hmm. He was exposed by Stan Kramer on Channel 5.
Said he had a back problem.
We've got to find that story because when Stan Kramer...
Let me see if I can find it on YouTube.
I don't want to even say ambushes him. It is brilliant journalism. You sure about that? We saw you toss your cane into the car. Sorry.
Not only that, but he was chopping wood.
I know.
He was chopping wood.
Epic.
And then Stan Kramer approaches and goes,
excuse me, sir.
Dr. Marks?
How's that back? How's that back injury coming along?
Let me see if I can find the story on YouTube.
We'll look. But I want to hear, in the meantime, if you are in the insurance industry and you investigate false claims, that to me is kind of a fascinating job. You're going around trying to bust people chopping wood.
That's a great
question. Supposedly have carpal tunnel and they can't work.
So somebody claims, you know, hey, it's workers' comp. I was injured on the job. How do you prove them wrong?
And why does it take 7 years, Scott? Buses have camera systems. They would have known almost immediately if they suspected something. They would have known almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the tape.
Yeah.
The bus systems don't save those videos indefinitely.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Walter Marx. Let's go to Gina in Lawrence. Gina, good afternoon. Hello. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Loud
yeah,
and clear.
Welcome on in.
Thank you. Well, I heard you guys talking about work comp. I think I could probably answer a few questions for you.
Well, how often does it happen? And am I imagining it's usually men and not women?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, maybe more men than women, but it is pretty, it's kind of across the board.
How do you determine if somebody is telling the truth or not?
Well, you don't necessarily out of the gate, but what we do have is what we call red flags. So if certain things sort of happen that start making, don't make sense, that's when you're curious, and that's when you start kind of checking in to see what they're saying really is what's happening.
So could I lean back in this chair right now here in the studio, fall backwards, claim that I hit my head and hurt my back, and claim
absolutely.
Workers' comp?
Absolutely, you can. Absolutely, you
hang
can.
Hang on for a second, then.
right.
Now, Gina, if the two witnesses said that it looked intentional and that he was just trying to, you know, squeeze some money out of the company, what would be the result there?
Probably out of the gate, you'd still have to give them treatment, and you have to go through and investigate before you could deny them any benefits.
What would happen if his two friends' cars exploded?
Stop.
Then that would be another red flag.
But Gina, let me ask you this. More often than not, how do these like red flags come to you? Is it someone they work with that turns them in, an ex-spouse maybe turns them in?
yeah, you get some of that, or some of where, you know, they maybe they're missing appointments and they don't have a real good excuse as to why not, or whatever. You get in the notes from the doctor and the doctor is like, yeah, what they're describing doesn't make any sense, or what they're, you know, the doctors kind of have some wording they put in there where, you know, that they're being a little, what they call somatic, or, you know, basically their symptoms aren't matching. And then if you get enough red flags, generally what they'll do is hire private security or, you know, detective to go kind of see what's what. And even if you catch them on a video doing something that's outside of what we call their work restrictions, that doesn't always do the trick either, because you have to get a doctor to agree that that's the case. And as far as prosecution, that is pretty rare, because they can always come up with reasons why they were having a good day, or yeah, they did that day, but then the next day they were in so much pain. And so, you know, it can be frustrating when you're on the adjuster end to try and, you know, catch those guys and be able to do something about it, because they're two different things.
Gina, I find this fascinating. On what percentage of workers' comp claims would you say you hire a private investigator?
I would say probably less than 3%. It's not very often, and it's almost, it's about with anything. You're going to have most of your people, a good portion of them are hurt, want to get back to work, and then you've got a portion of them that are hurt, and you're right, want to fudge a little and don't mind having a few, little bit of time off. And it's, but it's very rare that you get the person that's just blatantly pretending like they can't work and are really, really milking the system. But those that do are very, very infuriating, because you might get all that evidence and get in front of a judge, and the judge maybe still won't agree with you or with the doctor. So that part can be aggravating.
So I guess that's my question. If you have a doctor saying, well, yeah, especially if it's a back injury, yeah, I mean, her back's a little sore, you can't really prove or disprove that, right?
Absolutely not. You're correct, because if you have what we call soft tissue injury, those are very difficult to prove that they're not being truthful. So that can be a frustrating part. And there is some stuff you can do, but you're right, there is no specific test to measure pain, so that can be a definite gray area when it comes to a work comp claim.
Gina, appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
Thank you.
Well, it goes back to what Sam said earlier. You cannot measure somebody's pain tolerance. It's impossible.
Well,
what hurts to you might not hurt to me.
Okay, but debilitating, I can't work. What hurts to you might not hurt. I mean,
Dana, my back is really sore.
Here's the other one. Neck. I got neck problems.
Oh, my hip's been lit up all week.
You can't expect me to sit here for 4 hours a day. My back is killing me.
I have to
me.
Go home. I'm in pain.
Brian in Lawrence, 586-7798. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are well, thank you.
And I just wanted to share with you I was a private investigator for 7 years, and my specialty was going out and doing surveillance and investigations on working comp cases. One of the funniest ones, or not funny, but one of the most unusual ones was I had to sit on this guy's house. He had a scheduled medical appointment. I followed him from his house, where he came out in the early morning wearing a boot on one of his legs and walking with a cane and really, really slow. And I followed him to his medical appointment. Of course, he parked as far away as he could from the front door and limped and, you know, took his time getting to the building and watched him walk into the building. And a half hour or so later, he came out and slowly walks back to his car. And he gets to his car. They took the boot off, threw the cane in the back of the car, drove back home, and I followed him back to his house. And he pulled in his driveway, opened the garage door, and walked into the garage. And a few minutes later, I saw him coming out with an extension ladder, and he walked it across the street to his neighbors. And for the next hour or two, he was up and down on the ladder, climbing the roof, cleaning out the gutters for his neighbor.
Not even his own gutters.
Brian, let me ask you this. When you are a private investigator and you're tailing someone, how do you tail them so they don't know that you're behind them?
Well, that's the tricky part. You got to be close enough you don't lose them, because the client that hired you to do that would be mad because you wasted the day, or you get too close where they know you're being followed. They were being followed, but you know it's you learn how to do that from a distance. But you know when you follow somebody at high speed and they're changing lanes abruptly and you got to stay with them, and then you get pulled over by a trooper, then you lost your client, so it's kind of.
What would you say it is? Is it two cars? Is it three cars?
Oh no, it's just one. One on. You know, I was just following one guy all the time. Yeah.
And he didn't recognize at some point, you know, it's weird, the same guy is following me in traffic every single day.
But that's why you learn, you know, not to park right behind him. You park. I had blacked out windows in my car. And I parked. It was a pretty, you know, basic black car, and I literally pulled up right next to a guy pumping gas, and turned the video into my boss, and he says, "Well, how'd you get so close?" I said, "Well, I parked right next to him." He didn't even notice. So you can hide in plain sight, but then there's times of people that, and your first caller said that, you know, you got to be careful because those folks know that they're cheating the system, so they're going to be looking over their shoulder every time they go out of the house.
Well, so that's my question for you. You just teed this up. Do most people know that they are going to be followed? Are their heads on a swivel, or are they narcissistic enough that they just think they've gotten away with it?
Oh, they think my experience, Dana, was that most of the people didn't expect that somebody would call them out on their fake injury. So they just assume that everything's good. They haven't seen anybody for a while, and all of a sudden I show up, and now I'm following you for 3 or 4 days at a time wherever you go, and filming you. Of course, you don't know that I'm filming you, but yeah, they don't expect to be caught. And your first caller, the adjuster, she said going to court is very rare. Well, I only went to court one time in 7 years, and they revoked the guy's workman's comp claim and made him. The judge ordered him to repay all the money that was given to him during his workman's comp period.
Brian, you may have shifted the entire conversation this hour into a different direction, into private investigating, which I find fascinating. Do you only do insurance claims? Do you do cheating spouses?
No, our company, a different group of people handled that. I didn't want to get involved in that. I just did workman's comp. I did everything from arson investigation, the traffic accidents, slip and falls, the workman's comp. I'm a retired law enforcement, so I knew how to do all that stuff. But cheating spouses, I didn't have any. I didn't want any part of that. I didn't care.
And when they got caught, what did they say?
I never talked to them.
Just did the background.
Yeah, I did. I filmed them, wrote my report, submitted that, and never saw them again. And sometimes they would send another investigator out just to get better evidence. But for the most part, we did, you know, on the average 3 or 4 visits with the person, unless we get made the first day, and then they have another team come in and follow them. But I enjoyed it. It was just a lot of road time, you know, on the windshield time, just watching the cars go by or sitting in the parking lot. And in the winter, wintertime, you don't turn your car on. You're sitting there, you're watching people. You don't turn your car on because neighbors will call and go, "Hey, there's a strange car with it. There's nobody in it, but it's running." Or in the summertime, you can't run the air conditioner because it's pretty obvious that there's somebody sitting in the car. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. People still amaze me that they think they can get away with stuff when they know that, you know, they're cheating the system, and it's going to catch up to them. And the video evidence certainly is kind of hard to refute.
So, Brian, when I'm watching movies and somebody's being tailed in a movie, I always think to myself, "Oh, come on, that is so obvious." You know, the guy pulls out of his parking lot or his driveway, I beg your pardon, and then and then two houses down, all of a sudden a car starts, lights are on, and here we go.
Exactly.
I mean, is it that obvious in the real world?
No, you know, the advantage of having long distance, we had good surveillance cameras. We could sit half a block away and watch them come out, and so we kind of blend in the traffic. We try to get into high traffic places, and you know, we don't stay in the same lane directly behind them. We're 2 or 3 cars back in the other lane or in their blind side where they can't see you, but eventually they'll see you and wonder, why is the same car following me? And it's sometimes they'll deviate by, they'll go up an entrance ramp and then to see if you follow. And then they'll, instead of turning on the side roads, they'll go back down on the interstate and see if you follow them. Of course, you've got to follow them. So at that point, you know, well, maybe they know that I'm following them, but it still shows. I mean, some of the folks, the claimants that we were following, weren't even supposed to be out in the car there because their backs were hurt or something. So they're out going to Walmart, or
But if you know that you've been made, Brian, I find this fascinating.
I know.
If you know that you've been made while you're doing the tail, can you call in a backup that will come in and swap out with you
in the middle
of the tail?
No, not usually, because we were all spread out. I went from all the way up to Iowa, down to Texas and Missouri, and you know, we were always working by ourselves. So, you know, that's why they would, you know, I would call my boss and go, I think the guy made me, and here's why I think that. And then so the next time they would let me go on another case, and they'd bring in somebody else with a different vehicle. So, yeah, there was always somebody to follow up, you know, if we get made. I probably had 100 cases that I worked. I bet I got made maybe 2% of the time. But, you know, you go to a small town. I mean, Buffalo, Missouri, if you've ever heard of Buffalo, Missouri.
No, nobody has.
Well, exactly. And it's a population of about 200 or 300 people, and it's very rural. And so you drive a fairly new SUV down there without a state plate. It doesn't take long to be, the neighbors are calling each other, hey, you know who that car belongs to? Never seen it before. And I've had one case where I was in a rural area, and it seemed like there was a parade of cars going by. And, you know, there's no traffic on the streets because it's, you know, middle of the morning. But all of a sudden there's 8 or 10 cars going up and down the street, 5 or 6 times. And I know they're writing the license plates down. So that's the reason we contacted local law enforcement and go, hey, you guys get a call. Here's my license plate. Here's my car description. Here's what I'm doing. But we don't ever tell them who we're watching because we don't know who they know.
Might be
their brother-in-law that we're watching.
Yeah, right. Probably is. I got to stop you there because we're up against a break and we're way late for it. But, man, that was a great call. Thank you for
thank
it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
913-586-7798. There are reports out of Holland from one Alex Van Halen himself that there is a new Van Halen record in the works, even though Eddie Van Halen died about 4 years ago.
Okay.
You know, they said when Phil Lynott died, there's no Lizzie without Lynott. And Lizzie never recorded a new record. There is no Van Halen without Eddie. But apparently it is in the works. Steve Lukather, who is with Toto, if I'm not mistaken, has been brought in. It's unknown if Steve is going to be playing guitar on the record or if they're going to take out some of the songs that are said to be in a vault a la Prince, bring them out, rework them. Is Michael Anthony in the mix? Is David Lee Roth coming back? Is Sammy Hagar coming back? We don't know. But Alex Van Halen says a new Van Halen record is in the works. We have sad news. If you have been following us with the Eagles in California,
not on the parade.
And this is an Eagle couple that have struggled over the years to have eaglets.
Through the snow, through the wind, they are protecting those babies.
Yeah, they are. And the other day there were 3 in the nest. This morning there were 2. It is not known what happened to the third. Says here. This is from a statement from the Friends of Big Bear Valley. During the first feeding session today, only 2 chicks were visible. We cannot see the entire nest bowl because the view remains partially obstructed by snow. We are observers of nature and do not know the entirety of the current situation. We are viewing the everyday life of bald eagles. Sometimes our emotions override our curiosity. It is okay to trust them when you need to and to make healthy decisions for yourself. Okay. Little dramatic, but okay. We don't know anything yet, and we cannot confirm anything. We don't know exactly what the situation is. We'll have to wait and see. In the nest, if you follow them, and let me log onto them right now.
I looked earlier because it showed them there's snow everywhere, right?
Yes.
And it looks like that mom and dad are like, dirt, 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 dirt. And I wanted to write something to the effect of, you know, you think you've had a long day as a parent. Look at that eagle mama and daddy just sitting there taking the elements to protect those babies.
It is a massive snowstorm. I went to camera 1, which is the zoomed in camera, and I went back to 9:53 this morning, Big Bear time, And there are only two being fed.
And I don't know,
and
what
it's
they,
a feeding time, so all so, three would be up and taking food.
So here comes feeding time, Dana. Let me get back to this here in just a second. All right, so look right there. There's only two eaglets in the nest.
No, where's the other one? Maybe the other one's hiding.
A little hide and seek.
Little, you know.
Just skipping breakfast.
They're so cute. Those babies like, you gonna feed me? You gonna feed me?
You know, mom's like, where is your little brother?
Oh, don't go there. I don't want to know. Don't do that today.
It is thought one of them may have fallen out of the nest when mom stood up.
All right, speaking of children, if your very young teenager does something illegal, could you be charged? One local police department says not only yes, but hell yes. We cannot wait to tell you about that story out of KCK straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.